Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. I hope you enjoy that little classic reggae like I do, because it sort of gets me in the mood for my virtual trip to the beautiful island of Jamaica, land of my birth. So I want to welcome the callers this evening, and I also want to welcome those who may come by later on, and hope that that little music will put them in a very somber mood. And as we say in Jamaica, no problem, man. So you'll just relax and chill or get warm, depending on what part of the world you're tuning in from. But here in the backyard on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock, on Blog Talk Radio, we're always on the beautiful island of Jamaica in our favorite chair, wherever that was, wherever we are on the island. So we're taking a virtual trip tonight. And tonight, as we take our virtual trip, we are going back in the days of our youth. When we grew up on the island, when perhaps things were not as modern and as techy as they are today. But as I look back, and I'm sure some of my listeners will agree with me, there are things that are being done now that we on the island were doing long ago, and we did not even understand why we were doing it. We just knew we were doing it, and it worked. Well, we knew why we were doing it, because perhaps we had to. But it worked so well. So if you know what I'm getting to, or if you're, as they say now, if you know where I'm going with this, is that we were the ones that were recycling before recycling was popular. So tonight we have a special co-host with me from Toronto, who is going to share with us a little bit about growing up on a farm in Jamaica, and what they, I figured we'd get a country version, and we have, I'm sure, hopefully a lot of listeners who will give us a little taste of what they did and how they did it and what they reused and recycled all over the island. Because I always say that most foreigners believe that we did the same thing at the same time in Jamaica. Everybody know everybody else, and we all did the same thing. But I know better than that, and a lot of my callers know, because the Kingstonian perhaps did it different from the people in St. Elizabeth, from the people in Westmoreland. So our special guest tonight happens to be from the parish of Westmoreland, from Savannah Lamar, but we like to call it Sav. And she is, I'm going to have her tell us a little bit about herself, because I see that she's on the board. So, good evening and welcome to the USA. Who do I have on my mic?
Carol.
Are you there?
Yep. Hello.
Welcome to America.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just being funny.
I think you have too much snow and ice down there for me.
Yeah, it always comes from Canada. I don't know what it must become. There must be have a shift, because I remember when it gets cold here, they always talk about the Canadian wind or cold or something. So
not
welcome
true.
To the backyard.
Thank you.
And I was just sharing with our listeners a little bit about your farm life, or you being on a farm.
Yes.
And I know you refer to it as a little farm, but I remember growing up when I visited you on the farm, it looked like a great big farm to me.
Actually, it did look, when I was growing up, I also thought it was a huge farm. Until I did a lot of traveling, and when I went back, it sort of put things in perspective, and I realized that, you know, a couple of hundred acres was not really big. It certainly falls in this small farm category.
Well, let me just tell you something. When you grew up in Kingston like I did, you
uh-huh.
have a, if you have a half an acre or an acre for a backyard, if that much, that was a lot. So when you're talking about a couple of hundred acres, that is a big farm. So I know you've traveled all over the world. You want to just give us a little trip? Well, just let us know where you've been so that you can have a comparison of why it looks small to you.
Well, I have been very, very fortunate. First of all, I went to England. Unlike Dick Whittington, I wasn't trying to find my fame and fortune, but I was very, very interested in history and, you know, had studied, of course, in high school then, British and European history, knew far more about Britain than I did about the Caribbean, and therefore wanted to see some of these many, many places I had studied about and read about. So went to England, and from there I sort of went on to the continental Europe and hitchhiked around for a year and did some volunteer work in Austria, in Switzerland, in Germany. The goal was to hitchhike to India, but I didn't really get that far. Got as far as Greece and decided to turn back and do some studying. And I studied to be a social worker, and that really was my working life was in social work, specializing in working with the terminally ill. And you are a passionate senior and can understand when I say that this is something that I was absolutely passionate about.
Oh,
so well. I have been blessed.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm sorry, but we did not, you didn't tell the world who you are.
Well, I am just a homegrown Savlamar girl.
No, what is your name?
The name is Carol, known to my family as Carol. But that got changed when I went to high school and everybody decided that I was Carol. So I am now known as Carol with an E. You know, we know the people who knew me when I was a young child, and they all called me Carol. And then the friends of my later life called me Carol. And, you know, I was a Goldson. and a member of quite a large sort of Savlamar family.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, welcome to the show, Miss Carol Carole. And you are now what?
My married name now is Fowles.
Okay, all right. Well, welcome to the backyard.
Yeah, thank
and we
you.
We have lots of listeners on the board, so I wanted to have sort of a country perspective of what you repurposed on the farm. And you know, I was talking to one of my girlfriends this evening, and she said, "What is the difference between recycling and repurposing?" I said, first of all, this is my take on it, because repurposing is sort of a new buzzword that people are on to in America. When you have a product or item that was actually made for one thing, you know,
right,
but you can use it for that thing and then find other uses for it.
Absolutely right.
And I said, when I read about that, you know, for instance, the coffee filter that you put in your coffee when you're, you know, doing in your coffee machine.
Right.
You can use that for several other things. You know what I mean? They have suggestions of things that you can use it for.
Well, I use it to make yogurt cheese.
Right, and I use it sort of, you know, how the chefs have the little containers with all their little, as they prep, you know, the different containers.
Yeah.
Well, you have to wash those little glass jars or cups or whatever they put them in. So I use the coffee filters for that. So
yeah,
I have everything laid out, and I can just toss them out afterwards.
Yeah,
so,
or they can be recycled.
Right, we didn't even have that when we were growing up. And I'd like to tell, if I may, that Carole is also a senior, like me. Okay? Only I'm more senior. So just give us a little rundown of what you used to recycle or repurpose on the farm.
Well, we repurpose sort of nearly everything that grew on the farm. You know, sugarcane was grown to be sent to the factory, but one of the things that the trash from the cane, as we get the cane from the fields, the trash was used and thrown into the pig pens, and the pigs used to eat it. And what we didn't know then was that, in fact, the waxy coating of the sugar cane has now been found to be something that, in fact, reduces cholesterol. So, in fact, the skin has a waxy coating. And
uh-huh,
the wax,
that makes it so shine. It's shiny.
Yeah, well, the pharmaceutical companies, the natural pharmaceutical companies, are using that to make a medication, a natural medication for reducing cholesterol.
Wow. Well, that should be very popular because we have a lot of sugar cane all over the world.
Oh, yes. And I think it basically came out of, the idea came out of Cuba, or that's where it was first developed.
So we can say now that the pigs that were eating this, we were not getting as much cholesterol from them, hopefully. I'm just being funny. You know, I have to put in my sidebar. But go ahead.
No, but what was happening is that a lot of the byproducts of what we grew, for instance, the bran from the rice, which now, of course, is considered a high-fiber food, this was being also fed to the pigs and to the cattle.
You mean the husk when you get the rice out of the shell?
Yeah, right, out of the shell, yeah.
Right,
then,
I remember the rice fields, okay.
Then the bran from that was used. We used to feed the pigs with it and also the cattle for a treat. And we would mix it with molasses, which we got from the cane, the sugar factories. And, of course, molasses is very high in vitamin B. So, in fact, all of these things which would have normally been thrown away No discovered to be the healthiest part of the products that we produced.
Right, right. Great.
You know, we grew the scraps from the house, the vegetable scraps. I mean, now it is, we recycle it and we put it in a compost house. But that also went in to feed the pigs. And we know that the peel from the potatoes, for instance, are highest in vitamin C than the actual potato itself. So, in fact, the animals, we were feeding them in a very natural way without even knowing that we were.
Right, right.
You know, and therefore we were getting the best possible, you know, meat and pork and chickens used to be fed with a corn, which we grew ourselves. The dogs, cornmeal with meat scraps. And we now know that cornmeal, it's quite high in protein. And, you know, all these things were fed to the animals. And I think indirectly we benefited from, you know, from having...
Right, because we were eating healthier animals.
Exactly. We were
eating
healthier animals.
And we didn't even know it.
We didn't
appreciate it at the time.
Well, we didn't know it really. And I don't think our parents were... The thing is that we are living in an age where there is such information, such a lot of information out there, which were not available to our parents then. We just did what our parents did, what their parents did. And they saw being traditionally done by other farmers in the area.
Right, I got
you.
And I think that a lot of the synthetic things that are available now was not really available then.
They weren't available because, for instance, coconut oil, which we grew up on, it's very high in saturated fat, but it also has some very healthy acids in it. And coconut oil has now become respectable.
Right.
Because, you know, when you think of it, the other oils, the olive oil and the canola oils, they all came from more or less temperate countries. Their marketing skills were such that they sort of put down coconut oil because they wanted to sell the other product.
Right, definitely.
You know? And now coconut oil, they've now decided that it's a healthy oil. It's something that's now available in the health food stores and so on.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, in a way we were bamboozled.
Right, definitely.
You know?
So what else did you repurpose?
Well, for instance, talk about the lowly condensed can. You know, we felt when my mother had anyone for tea, if you didn't have condensed milk, you know, you didn't serve tea, so someone had to run to the shop and get a can of condensed milk, you know, to sort of pull shame out of your eyes.
House milk.
Yeah, we didn't have tea with cow's milk, even though we produced cow's milk ourselves.
Right.
But the condensed can, I can remember, you know, first of all, we'd make a couple of holes in it. And sometimes when no one was looking, you know, we would take a swig of it. But the condensed can, for instance, the tinsmith could fashion it, put a handle on it, and it was used by a lot of the country people as mugs. You know, they didn't have the money for China, or if they did, it was for Best. So the condensed can became a mug. It could also be fashioned as a light, where they would put a lid in it, a hole in the top of the lid, and also you put fill it with oil and put a wick in it. Like kerosene oil. And then you had a light, and I can remember on our place, because we had a lot of wetlands on our property and a lot of land crabs. And after the May rains, and they said the crabs were running, you would see people going out into the
crabbing,
the field,
yeah,
crabbing with these kerosene lights, and
uh-huh,
you know, it would be just the most magnificent sight. And they would, after hours, come back with a crocus bag full of crabs.
Uh-huh.
You know, and invariably, since we were the sort of landowners, they would drop some off with us and so on. So
right,
that was also one of the uses of the condensed
pan. The container for the condensed milk.
That the condensed milk came in. And
right,
one of the things I also remembered, and I think a lot of people in the country parts had safes. And
uh-huh,
these safes were sort of pantry cupboards, which
right,
had mesh on the sides, and you would keep bread in it and condensed milk and so on. And they had a very spindly legs, depending on who made them. They were very often made by a cabinet maker. But invariably, the ants would find their way into the safe.
Especially if the condensed milk was there.
Exactly, and sugar and sweet things were there. So one of the things I saw in my own home was the fact that each leg was put into a condensed can and a little bit of kerosene oil poured into the can, which kept the ants out.
Interesting.
The condensed can was also a toy telephone. It was
uh-huh,
a sort of walkie-talkie, you know,
right,
where
right,
we would put a piece of string in two condensed cans with a long piece of string, which was knotted at the bottom, and then we would go as far away as the string would take us, and we would talk to each other. You know,
right,
you'd have one at the can at the ear when someone was talking. And, of course,
uh-huh,
when we were talking and the other person was listening, then they switched around. So that was the condensed can as toy.
Good.
You know, it was a toy walkie-talkie.
Right.
So this certainly was a case of reusing and finding
right,
a different use.
Right.
For
well, as they say,
the
now
lowly condensed can. Yeah.
Yes, repurposing. So we were doing it before the word was popular. You know, somebody found the word.
Absolutely. Another thing we used, my mother used to sew, and she used to have big spools of cotton thread. I mean, all
uh-huh,
thread was called cotton thread then, but the spools had, at the end of it, there were a couple of big knobs to keep the thread from coming off. And we would sort of file these knobs off, put them together, and make a sort of yo-yo. With them, you know, and we could always attach it to a piece of a sharpened piece of wood, and
uh-huh,
make a sort of a top with it where we would spin it.
Oh, wow!
You know, it wasn't shaped like a top, but with a sharpened piece of wood, this was the effect we got.
Right, right.
So again, another thing, because we did not have a lot of toys.
Right.
You know, we made our own toys.
Uh-huh.
The condensed milk tin also became wheels for a little sort of push carts that we would make. You know, you put two sticks like a cross, and
uh-huh,
then on short parts of it, you nailed on the condensed tin, and then you went racing down the driveway with this.
Good. So now that one, the condensed milk container,
yeah,
was a utensil that you drink from,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was a gadget that you use to prevent ants from, you know, the insects from getting into things.
That's correct.
It was a toy phone.
Yeah.
And it was a toy truck. And it was, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
just,
and it also was
one item.
It was also a light.
Ah, yes, and a light.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very,
yeah.
very
that,
good.
That was from
well,
one item.
Right. Would you like to take some callers now? I wanted to know if anybody else had that experience or would like to add to the condensed milk story.
I'm sure that there are a lot more stories out there.
Yes, but I just wanted to deal with the condensed milk right now.
Yeah. Okay.
No, you're not finished yet. I know you have a couple of other things to share with us, right?
Yeah, a couple of things, yeah.
All right, so I'd like to ask any of the callers on the board if they had anything else they can think of or wanted to make a comment on the condensed milk repurposing. So just hit one on your telephone if you would like to join the Labrish on this particular subject. So I am just hit one on your phone and it will indicate to me that you're putting up your hand like we used to do in school long ago, and I can open the mic for you. So if nobody raised their hand in the next 3 seconds, then I'll give it back to you, Miss Carole. So listeners on the board, I will remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each week at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And this show is dedicated to that. And tonight, we are just reminiscing. We're having a little nostalgia about the time when those of us who grew up in Jamaica, back in the day, way before perhaps independence, or there might be some people on the board that was, you know, after us, because what year did you leave Jamaica, Carole?
I think it was 1957, so it was before independence.
And you were before me, because I left in 1959. So I see a 718-653 has put up a hand. So I'm going to open the mic and welcome you to the backyard. Your mic is open. Who do we have?
This is Maxine Lyons. How are you, Miss Marshall? And good
evening, everyone. Maxine. I am fine. Welcome to the backyard. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, not complaining too much. A lot of snow,
all right,
but otherwise
you
know I'm doing great.
The call is where you're calling from and who you are.
Okay, I'm Maxine Lyons, and I'm calling from the Bronx in New York.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a poet.
Okay, and what is your stage name?
My stage name is Max Poet. My website is poettothemax.com, and I do a lot of patwa pieces, and I've enjoyed what Miss Carole was talking about just now when she mentioned the candence can, or that's what we call it, or milk tins.
Uh-huh.
I too can relate to the lamp.
Oh, really? No,
yes.
I had never seen the lamp.
Yes, well, we had it. That was always in my grandmother's kitchen. It was always there. We used to call it the tinning lamp.
What?
The tinning lamp. Tinning lamp. The tinning lamp.
Oh,
it was made from a tin.
Tin lamp. I
right.
got you.
Yeah. So we said tinning lamp back then.
So now it has a name. You see how
yes.
this is interesting.
Right.
Now, Carole, did you know that is what it was called?
No, but I know that my father had a Tilly lamp. T-I-L-L-E-Y.
Tilly lamp. Well, apparently
lamp,
that
and I
might
think
have
this was
imported.
Probably take on the Tilly lamp.
Okay. Right. So that one was perhaps imported on the island.
The Tilly
there.
Lamp was imported, yes.
Right.
Yeah, I
so
heard
the,
of the Tilly
the
lamp too. Right.
Yes, so what I mean is the natives made their own lamp, and it's a tin lamp.
So it was made from a tin, right.
Yeah,
right.
A tin lamp. Yeah,
right.
Actually, I had never heard that, but I think that's neat.
So, Miss Maxine, did you remember anything else you used to repurpose?
Oh yes, a whole lot of stuff. I wrote a few stuff. Then I'll just go through them quickly so others can get a chance to make their input. The corn stick. When we eat a corn, we would roast the rough portion of it and make it crispy.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And that we would use as a clothes brush when we did our laundry. We use it to scrub our clothes.
Wow!
Yes,
what part of the island did you grow up?
I grew up in St. Mary.
St. Mary, that's interesting to know.
And now, that was
Carol,
our washing
did you
brush.
Know that? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. That's a new one on me. Yeah.
Okay. What else, Miss Maxine?
And there was also we would take very flat stones from the river.
Uh-huh.
We put them on our head, even though they were heavy, flat ones, and we used those like bricks in our yards.
Ah.
So we'd use it to cover the ground so that when it rained, you wouldn't have all that mud.
Oh. Okay.
Yes,
so you
flat
stones. Actually use it like a tile.
Like a tile, right.
Uh-huh.
And we would also use it as a scrubbing board at the river. When you did your washing, you get a nice flat stone, you put the clothes on it, and use the same concept to scrub the clothes on the stone. So it was like a scrubbing board.
Okay. Someone mentioned about a scrubbing board last week when we did recycling or things that are not in use anymore.
I was going to mention something about a scrubbing board.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, okay,
scrubbing board
what else?
Was a flask. And then there was also the crocus bag. You know, those sugar bags, the big ones that you get sugar in the dark. Those were our rugs and our floors. My grandma would open them up, wash them after the sugar was poured out. And we'd wash them and use them for as rugs on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I spoke to someone today, and they told me that people used to take, like, pieces of fabric. You know,
and
like
make a rug. Right, that too.
And make a rug.
Right,
a rug. It through and cut it, you know,
right.
And make a rug.
Make it fluffy and
but
skirty.
The crocus bag would be the lining
the
of it.
Right,
yeah.
Like the base of it. But we also use the bag straight up. Yes.
Yeah.
We never put too much of the fabric. We used to use the bag straight up like that.
Right.
It would be like a rug, you know, at our doorways. We also use it as a storage. Like my grandmother did igloring on a large scale, so she would pack coconuts, banana, whatever in those bags and tight, and she would take it to Kingston like that with whatever produce there was to sell. So it was as a storage, you know. So it was as a mat or rather as a storage.
It was like a packing case.
Right.
Right. So we have where the sugar came in it. Once it was emptied, it could be a rug or a carrying case for anything, actually.
Yeah, but I've also seen it used as a sort of rainwear or hat where they would put one corner into the other and then put it over their head.
That I know too.
So it was almost like a cape.
Like a raincoat thing, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, that I know of too.
Okay.
And then we also have the flower bags now, the one that the flower came in. That was very multi-purpose too. My grandmother used to use it to make aprons.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
On the pants for men.
Yeah.
Wow.
Book bags.
Really?
Book bags, kitchen towels.
Wow.
Whatever she could find to make, she'd sit there and sew with her little hand machine. She'd make all these things.
Yeah.
Oh,
and these underpants she would make and she would sell them.
Yeah.
Ah. Yes. I remember that distinctly. I was very young, but I haven't forgotten.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I buy the flower bags now at some of the upscale stores, which I use for tea towels, for kitchen towels.
Right.
Well, they absorb very well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because they're all cotton, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And because they had to be thick to hold the flower inside, you know, so that nothing could penetrate it.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
And back then when my grandmother, when she would get the flower back, she'd get them free from the lady at the shop. And it was difficult to get the flower out. She had to soak them and wash them for days and days to get all the flower out, get it dry. Then you'd start cutting it up to make whatever you were making. I'm telling you, it was just amazing to sit and watch all of that growing up.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And then we also had the paint pans. When you emptied the paint can was finished, you wouldn't throw it out. We'd use it to plant flowers. So they were used as flower pots.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And someone mentioned
to me today that the cheese, you know, we used to get the cheese in a round can at Christmas time, at Easter time. That would become either something to bake in. It would become a baking pan or a planter.
Right.
Yeah. I tell you what else were used for planters when those were old tires.
Right.
They would cut them across and then use them for planters. I've also seen them used for sandals.
Yes.
Where
they
somebody mentioned that.
Cut them and lace them up with string and
I see another hand open. I don't know the number. It's like it seems like a Skyper. It's all ones, but it's 111111. Is it, so anyone using Skype? Your mic is open. Hello? Well, whoever put up their hand a couple seconds ago, your mic is open. I don't have a number I can call to give you a hint as to what it is, but if you are using perhaps Magic Jack, it may show up as Skype or all ones. Well, the person is not responding. Hello? Someone who want to say hello to us on the backyard, your mic is open. So welcome to the backyard. Well, I'm not getting any response. I leave the mic open for now, but if the person did it accidentally, then I'll close it. So go ahead, Maxine or Carol.
Okay. I was going to say something I wanted to tell you about because it affected me very closely when I was a young child. I had malaria and always getting malaria fever. And that's when I discovered the Jamaican sauna, which was, in fact, the tin wash tub, which are sort of my mother's helper used to boil up all sorts of different bushes which she got from the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Pour it in there, put the washboard across it, put me to sit on the washboard, and covered me with a blanket. And believe you me, by the time the doctor got there, my fever was gone.
Wow. No, I never heard of that. She actually created a sauna.
Yeah, and I call that the Jamaican sauna.
Okay.
Right, I mean, that was so smart.
Have you heard about that, Maxine?
No, I've never heard about that. But I know
never heard of it.
I mean, it was you sweated, and you sweated because you, as I said, she put that washboard, the scrubbing board, across it, and I would sit on that with my feet up on the lid of the wash pan, and she would cover me with a blanket. And
I know the process where if you have like a sinus problem, you would cover your head with a towel.
Yeah. Well,
and,
I think
and
it's
be
the same,
over a bowl
it's
of
the same
of
principle.
Yes, but I never heard the whole body.
Yeah, well, okay. It's like being in a sweat lodge or a sauna. And, I told some friends that we were using saunas long before I got there.
You know, that's right.
Actually, yeah. And another thing which, as I was telling my sister-in-law, is about the Jamaican winter coat. You know, when the breezes blew and it became cold and people had not yet sort of been traveling overseas to come back with sweaters, the Jamaican winter coat was a bath towel.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You see, the people in the country up in the hills all have bath towels around their shoulders when it was cool.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. So did you have some more to share with us, Maxine?
Well, I just wanted to complete the paint tin idea to
sure.
Work. Apart from we use them for flower spots. When I went to college in Mandeville, of course, this was in the upper years now in the 80s.
Right.
Early 90s, they use them, they put a string on it, because in Mandeville they have a lot of, in Manchester they have a lot of tanks, but
right.
They mostly have tanks. They put a string on the paint can.
Yeah.
They use it to pull the water out of the tank.
Oh,
okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, that was challenging for me. They had to teach me to do that because I was accustomed to spring water or river water or pipe, and, having to pull water out of a tank with a string, with a can, with a string was difficult. But
I found it
amazing.
This is a tank that catches the rainwater?
Yes.
Yeah.
They have a gutter that leads from the house to the tank.
Oh.
That
it, especially in the Mandeville area.
Mandeville
the
area, yes.
The area was very common. Nearly every household had a tank,
a
right?
A tank. Some people have two tanks, yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. No, this water was used for drinking and cooking?
Everything. Drinking, cooking, washing, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
Yeah.
And for the people who had money or the upper echelon, they would have a hair tank, Most of them I would have an air tank, so they would pump the water from that big tank into the air tank that took it through the house.
And then into the house. I
into
see
the house,
what you mean.
Flush your toilets and do your shower and all of that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is really repurposing.
Absolutely.
So what else?
So all the water from the roof also, you know, went into gutters and went into this tank when it rained.
Right.
You know, and they also had a very large cemented sort of catchment area that sort of, you know, went down into the, like a sort of, which worked almost like a sort of funnel.
But it was
open, and all the water that was caught in that area went down into the tank.
Well, I know here they used to, it were more wells in the old days. Did we have wells in Jamaica? Wells down in the ground?
Yes, I knew of one in my district.
Really?
Because
I don't remember, you know, if we had wells, if there were places. I remember now that you're talking about the tanks. I remember that. But I don't remember if there was anything like in the ground.
Yes, there was one in my district.
You know, like when you go to the movie and you see in the old days when they go to the well and dip down the thing and pull it up.
I think they did, because I remember staying at somewhere in near Spurtree, where in fact they did have a well.
Right, and you think they had them in Saint Mary? Is it Saint Mary Max?
Yes, there was one there where I grew up. There was one in my district.
Yeah,
there was a guy, a man called Mr. Peter. We used to call it Mr. Peter Well.
We're famous for that.
Pretty far from home, so a lot of hill to climb with a bucket of water in your head. But we used to go there during, especially during the drought, when it was really dry. That well would always have water.
Yeah.
When it got very droughty, of course, it wasn't that good, but we still have to utilize the water. It wasn't that clean sometimes, but we would still use it.
Yeah, but Jamaica it's a limestone area with a lot of underground streams. So there's a lot of water underground in Jamaica.
Yes, that is true.
So,
I see 718-379 would like to join the library, so... Welcome to the backyard. Your mic is open. Hello?
Hey, from the Bronx.
Hey there. Welcome to the backyard, Mr. Lee from the Bronx.
Somebody mentioned about wells. When I would go up in Jamaica, they had underground rivers in my... and they all had
They had wells. Are you there?
Onig in Jamaica.
Yes, I know. And what did they have?
Wells. They would have a deep well and the bucket and the rope, and they bring up the water from the well.
Right. So
drinking water and all, you know, water for every use.
Right. So we're talking about, what pan was repurposed for that, Miss Maxine?
Well, back then we would go down on our knees, because at the well that I knew of in St. Mary, we never had the paint pan with a string idea. We never had that idea then. So what we would do, we would go down on our knees, because, you know, back then we carried our water on our head with what they call a cutter.
Right.
You know what a cutter is, whether it's made from a dry banana leaf or a piece of old rag or whatever. So we would go on our knees, kneel on that, go on our knees and dip the water up until with a cheese pan or whatever pan there was available. Of course, a smaller container, and fill up our buckets. And that was how we pulled the water out, on our knees, with a smaller pan to fill up the buckets. I also recall during drought time, there was also another place in Simmer, they call it. It was a spring. Water coming out of a rock, we call it dripping rock. That was the only place we could get water back then during the drought season. We would cut a banana leaf and stick it in the rock, so the water would come onto the banana leaf and then into our buckets.
So you really created a funnel, sort of.
Yeah.
And that would take forever. It took forever to fill a bucket.
Talk about being creative.
Being creative. That was what we did to fill up our bucket. It took forever, but the water was cool and very clean. far away from it. But we only went there during the time, during when it was really very dry.
When you needed to.
Right, yeah. When we needed to, when it was really dry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I know you have to go on another call, Miss Maxine.
Yes, I have to go on at 9.
Yes. You have some more to share with us?
I just wanted also to mention the coconut shell. The coconut itself, when the coconuts were really dry, when you break a coconut in two, you get it nice and neat. Sometimes you break it and you get it in two halves. We would polish the outside of it to make it nice and smooth. And you would just store it, drink from it or store something in it, whatever we want, purpose. But that was also multi-purpose. We'd store oil in it, and if you fried something, you have leftover oil. You'd pour it in that shell and keep it there. Or we would also drink from it.
Someone mentioned to me, I don't know what part of the coconut, I forgot to ask her now, that when you would bake like a pudding, you would use the coal, you know, on the top and on the bottom.
Yes.
But when you bake a light cake, you don't want as much heat on the top.
Right.
And you would use the coconut shell.
Yes, that was
the dry coconut shell because it would be just enough heat to not to be overdone.
Right.
And I never heard of that.
Yes, we used
that. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I've heard of that. I know of that. We did that.
Ah.
My grandmother did all of that.
Yeah.
I grew up there, she did all of that.
Very interesting.
And of course, we all are aware of the coconut brush too that we use to shine our floors.
Yes, we spoke about that
last week.
Okay. Yes. So,
I wanted to mention, and you know, people from mosquito areas might not be aware of this, but one of the things that we used, you know, we used to sit out on the verandas in the evening, and to deal with the get rid of the mosquitoes. What we would do, you know, the cow dung, when it was dry.
You'd burn it.
We would burn it. And the smoke would get rid of the mosquitoes. And we would also, for fragrance and so on, the orange peel and grapefruit peel and citrus peel, we would add that to it to give a little bit of fragrance. And that's the smoke would get rid of the mosquitoes.
Yep.
Now, speaking of repurposing, did you use any of the animal feces for manure?
Did we use it? Well, we had cows, and, you know, you can't get away, and they used to do nice pats of manure, you know, that nice round platters, and that's when it was dried. We would pick it up after a few days in the field. You would sort of collect it and then burn it because by then it was dry and it burned, I guess, almost like a coal. But then it provided smoke, which would repel the mosquitoes.
Uh-huh.
And you know that Sablemar was noted for mosquitoes.
Right.
And it was a real malaria area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we use that for.
Okay. Can I say, give me a little side of the piece. Where the cow dung is concerned, I grew up around a lot of Indians, too. Our neighbors were mostly Indians, and they use the cow dung itself to make what you call wakal and darb.
Yeah,
They build little huts made from bamboos, and they'd use the cow dung like a cement or like a paste
to
cover the
hole.
But isn't that smelly?
but by the time it was dried, it was wild. I remember the cows were eating grass. And you know,
it wasn't as smelly.
It doesn't have the odor.
Odor, right?
That the grain and so on fed cows or the synthetic things they put in this have nowadays.
And not only that, but then they use their hands. They use their bare hands to mix that cow down. They mix it with dirt and water.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
to cover the holes in the hut that they build, and then use it for the floor, for the ground.
Yeah,
make it nice and smooth. It looked like a cement, but it was just nice and smooth.
It was called wattle and daub.
Wattle and daub, yes.
I heard that term. I didn't quite know what it was about. Wattle and daub.
That's what it is.
Coming back to me now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
My grandmother did it with her bare hands. She'd mix it up, and I would not touch it.
Oh, my goodness.
I just watched.
Yeah. Another thing that was very useful was the calabash.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The calabash, you know, we had a lot of calabash trees, and what they would do is, you know, is dry the calabash. First of all, cut it when it was green.
Green.
Scoop out
the inside.
Dry it. And then it was a great container. And
water.
Then I know that I have been back to Jamaica and seen in some very posh homes where they have used it as serving dishes.
Yes.
And I have seen them in gift stores here where people have sort of painted them or etched designs on them.
Right.
And, you know, and sold them in some of the upscale gift stores. But
well, they're like collector's items now because, you know, I'm sure that is not all of these, for instance, those trees might not be as plentiful
as they
used to be before.
Yeah, there's still a lot of calabash trees around.
Great.
Yes, and another thing that we used to make them for were to make musical instruments like what they call the shaka or the maraca.
Right. Yes.
Oh.
You know, with a young, small calabash.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
They would dry them and put seeds in them and then, you know, attach a stick to it and
like
there you had a musical instrument.
Yes, that I know of too.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, we really covered a lot of repurposing just in that alone.
Yeah,
and from two country folks, one from St. Westmoreland and one from St. Mary. Now, how far away are those two places from each other?
Either end of the island, you're not going to believe this, but I went to St. Mary only about 5 years ago, first time I went to St. Mary.
I don't think I've ever been to Westmoreland.
Right. I think this is good information, especially the foreigners or the Jamaicans or Jabrits, especially those that might not have spent any time in Jamaica. You know, they have Jamaican parents, but they really haven't lived there for any length of time.
Yeah.
And they don't really have a good idea of what things were like, you know, long ago. So that is part of the reason why I'm really so passionate about doing the show, because now that we have some wonderful historians that are digging up precious information that I know that I have been sharing on the show, and a lot of people seem to be responding to it in the fact that it's good to know. So, and I feel that what we're doing here tonight is like leaving a living legacy of what we actually know, and nobody's writing about it for us. So years from now, when we might not even be around, cyberspace will be out there in cyberspace, and the people who want it will be able to find the information. So all of you online that are sharing with us, and those that are part of the Labrish, are really making history. So I want to thank you for all that sharing. So I just want to put my two cents in here, but go right ahead and continue.
Well, I was also going to mention the ball bearings that came from wheels, that they were our marbles. As we played marbles, everybody wanted what they call an irony. And that was, you had the glass marbles, but then you had the irony, which was sort of your king of marbles. And this was usually a ball bearing from a wheel or something like that, and was your master marble. And this was a very important toy.
Hey, Carol, I never knew that girls did that.
Well, she happened to have a brother.
I got news for you. This girl did.
Okay.
I did too.
We had a tomboy on last week too that did a lot of boy things. I wonder if she's the Skyper. Is BJ out there someplace tonight? BJ, are you on the board?
Yes,
I guess.
Yes.
You know, and what I discovered, if you had a good iron, you could swap it for about 20 glass marbles.
Yes.
It was nice,
you know?
And shiny, yes.
I think I heard BJ.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, I'm on.
I know you're there. You're trying to hide under the Skype thingy. But
I'm
I
not
know
hiding
you. Welcome to the backyard.
Thank you. Yes, I remember the marbles and the ironing marbles and the calabash and everything you've been talking about. But I enjoy listening to you. And yes, we all played marbles, and I love the ironing marbles.
See, I didn't even know about that, and I grew up around some boys.
We
called
them steel back then. When I was growing up, they called them steel. We used to call them steel, yes, because it was kind of, it was really steel. It's metal.
Yeah.
Well,
in fact,
the boys
I have
in
one
my
right
family,
now, right
my
here,
boys'
with me.
Cousins,
believe it or not.
Beg your pardon?
I have one right here. I have one here. An iron in
a steely?
Yeah.
Well, an irony.
Irony. Okay.
Irony or steely?
Yes. Well, let me
say whatever.
How many glass marbles do you want to swap it for?
No. I'm going to hold on to it.
All right. All these smart girls, how about box front? Do you remember box front?
I don't know what that is.
No, enlighten us.
The cigarette boxes, the fellows used to cut up, they used to have all these designs on the boxes. And they were, when we played marbles, you would win box fronts.
Never knew that.
Well, maybe the girls didn't do the box fronts.
Ah, good. Got you there.
Well, let me tell you what my boy cousins used to do. There was a game that they play by using their foot to hit something. And it's like, it's C-U-L lash, some of the boys might know what that is. And they would chew an orange, the pulp of the orange. And what actually is how the texture of how you get it would determine how well you play. So it was like an art. You know, an art form.
Yes.
Because that is what they put on their foot and sort of bounce it up, and they have a little, like a little, what you'd call it now, what the guys do, and now, don't like a wrap, a little wrap.
Okay.
And they would take their foot, stand on one foot, and take the other foot, put this orange thing, you know, after they eat it and pulverize it, and it is a certain texture, and they put it on their foot, and then they throw it up in the air with the foot, and you catch it, and they're dancing around on one foot, and then you see who can do it the longest, as they say, this little wrap. So they, at least they were getting the nutrition from the orange, but they would have to chew, you know, the pulp of the orange until it was at a certain texture to be better at the game. So it was very interesting to see them do it.
Yeah.
Of course, I couldn't do it, but you know, because in those days, well, they had the long foot, and they, you know, they just know how to do it.
Yeah,
so I don't know,
crazy.
Lady, do you play that?
I didn't play, but I know all about it.
Okay, all right.
And Lady, do you know how to make a slingshot?
Yeah!
Not to make it, to use it on Killboard.
I used to make it from you know, the inner tubes, the old bicycle inner tubes.
Yes.
Well, that
is
a repurposing, too.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. We find what we called a crook stick.
Yeah, that's it. The trick was to get a flexible piece of crook stick that would support the
and we'd cut the strips of rubber from the inner tube and cut small very thin strips to wind around the stick and then we'd find a piece of leather to make the actual where we would put the stone to do this thing. But again, this was, you know, sort of reusing, recycling the old inner tubes.
Right,
yes.
Repurposing.
Yeah.
Now, for the people who might not, the foreigners that might not know what we're talking about, is similar to a catapult?
A catapult, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Uh-huh. Good.
Yeah.
Very good. So, anybody
the one that similar to the one that David used, I don't suppose
he had
it in
a tube,
David used to kill Goliath.
Right. I wonder what his deal was.
It would really be interesting to know what they used then.
Right, because I don't think he had any tires that he
Don't think so.
Very interesting. But, you know, just like how those stories don't go into details to give us details like that, and a lot of the stories that are being put together by Dr. Lumsden or Dr. Tortello, they don't have all the details.
Well,
they say what the person used, what it was made of, and all of that.
We have the details because the thing
is
we used to make them ourselves. I mean, I used to make slingshots.
Really?
You know, and I can make one today.
Wow.
You know, we used to make them, and that's why we have the details.
Right. So I'm saying it's so good to have the details and have it said by the person who did it. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
So I hope the listeners are enjoying the show. I see the board is full. We have several listeners that are not part of the Labrish. And I'd like to let you know that if you would like to be part of the Labrish, all you have to do is hit 1 on your telephone, and I'll see a raised hand on my switchboard, and I will be more than happy to welcome you to the backyard. Well, you're already in the backyard, but to welcome you to be part of the Labrish. And I want to thank all our participants and all our callers and those listening online. I'm sorry I'm unable to interact with you online. And if you are online and would like to join the Labrish, then you'll have to call in. And our call-in number, if you are online, you should see it right there, but I'll give it to you anyhow. It's 718-766-4558. And we are here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. So back to you all that want to have something else to share about our repurposing tonight.
Actually, one of the things I think we, tried to make clear is that life in the country was, we were more sort of self-reliant than the people who lived in the cities, because we had no transportation and we had to make our own amusement. There was no ward theater to go to for pantomimes, and we had to make our own amusements. And I think in a way we were very lucky. I mean, our place had a stream, and we used to get shrimps, and there was a fish called Godamy. I don't know if anyone heard of it, but it had so many bones that, you know, if you didn't fry it very crisply,
you couldn't eat it.
What was the name?
It was called Godamy. God-a-me.
God,
G-O-D-A-M-E? And
Godamy.
I've never heard of it. Anybody else heard of it? At my Above Rock, when I went to Above Rock for holidays, we'd have the... What happened to the lion? We'd have there were shrimp under the rocks and that fish too, and the stream. It was so restful and wonderful up there. I really loved that stream, and the water was so clear and pretty and cool.
We used to, as I said, it had so many bones that I think they were a hazard, but it was about the size of a sardine. And, you know, people would set pots in our stream, and I have to admit that my brother and I were a bit naughty. We would sometimes pull the pots and help ourselves.
Right. Well, you figure it was your stream.
It wasn't our pot, but it was our stream.
Oh, my goodness. That is really, really, this is really great.
But there was a talk about this fish trying to, at least this is what legend has, it was trying to get into heaven and wasn't recognized. It was very dark, and the fish said, "God of me." That was the story I heard, that when the knock came to the door and he was asked, "Who was there?" It says, "God of me." So,
so that's how it got its name.
That is one version. There are probably others, but that's one.
That is so funny.
But I had not really ever heard of it. Lay, did you? We're Kingstonians, but did you ever hear of God of me?
No, ma'am, I wouldn't. That fish with so many bones in it.
Well, I was more thinking that when you eat the fish, you're possibly going to see God. So you're going to say, "God of me," because it would kill you. But anyway.
Another thing I wanted to talk about in the country was the Bush Telegraph. It's amazing, you know, as children we would go into town, and if we were out of line, by the time we got home, our parents knew.
Yes, if you were out of,
yeah,
if you misbehave.
What is more, I think the Bush Telegraph is still in existence, because a few years ago we were driving from Kingston to Oterius, and we had a flat tire. We pulled off the road, a lot of people came out, and they helped us to change the tire and told us, you know, that somewhere on the way to Oterius there was someone who could fix it. Well, we got sort of halfway and pulled in to ask if this was the place, and there was a little boy on the bicycle who says, no, ma'am, it's you know, how many miles down the road, and the man, I expect you. The man is expecting you.
Uh-huh.
So by the time we got there, several people had told him that we were on the way. And this is in the middle of nowhere.
Isn't that something?
So, you know, the telegraph system, as my husband reminded me, is still very much alive and well in Jamaica.
Oh, my goodness. That is certainly interesting. So the news got there before you.
The news got there before we did.
Gotcha. Yes. There was a little background noise, so I closed a couple of the mics. I'm going to open them back now to see. I was trying to identify where it might have been coming from. But all the mics are open. So if Maxine, you're still there. If you want to interact, you may go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say that I really, really enjoyed this program this evening. I mean, I don't get a chance to come on every Wednesday, but for some reason, I said I don't get a chance to get on every Wednesday, but I'm really enjoying this evening. I'm really happy that I logged on.
Well, thank you so much for being
here. And I've learned a whole lot.
Sharing.
You guys made me laugh. Ms. Carroll, you're a wonderful person. And it's God of me, I will never forget that. I have to share this with my friends. Never heard
of
it.
Well, Maxine, I hope you will write a poem to the condensed can.
You know what? You're just reading my mind. I'm looking. I made notes of all the stuff that, well, not all the stuff, but the stuff that I had written down, and I'm saying to myself, repurposing, recycling. I could do a poem with all these things.
Well, you
know,
I thought of that.
You'll have to do that and come back and share it with us.
There was a poet who wrote a whole poem on an urn, on a Grecian vase. And I thought, you know, somebody should do this about the condensed can.
Condensed can, yes.
Yeah. And Maxine,
over
to you.
I need to pick up on the subject, yes. I really need to pick up on that subject. And
all
I haven't
right.
seen anything in a while, so I should really pick up on that.
Yeah.
Well, please do.
And, of course, when I do, you guys will hear it.
Okay. Well,
that
would
be
thank
wonderful.
You. Well, Carol, at least we know we have given some inspiration to an artist tonight.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
And I do hope that other artistic people coming by later on and listening to the show will get some nuggets from it or some little nudges that will nudge them to either leave their own legacy in the form of a poem or a song or something for their family or their friends, you know, because with this new technology, we have no excuse if someone else have to write about us. We should really write about ourselves. And we don't have to write now. We can speak.
Absolutely.
Because the technology is so cool. I always try to remind people of my own experience where I had quite a few, you know, things that my mother had left me before she passed away. But because I had a house fire, I lost almost everything. Okay. So I thought I was preserving it, but, you know, it went up in flames. So my point is, it's one of the reasons I'm doing this, because I know all of the shows are archived. You can go back and listen to the first show that was we ever did, like 2.5 years ago. And I think that they're going to be just piling up as I do them. So I want to invite listeners on the show or who may come by later that if you listen to one particular show and you like it, you can actually copy the URL and send that particular show to somebody who may have the same interest as you do. And you can also look in the archives for shows that you might have an interest in and listen to it while you're watching, you're checking your email or, you know, doing something around your house. So we really would appreciate you sharing if you enjoy. And also you may go to backyardlabrish.com and just give me your email address and I'd be happy to add you to the list that we publish. So once a week I send out a promo letting people know what I'll be talking about in the backyard with the hope that you will want to share with us. So with that said, I'll pass it back to the Labrishers. Then you can, you know, let us know if you remember anything else that was so wonderfully repurposed when we were growing up.
Well, there's one thing I just wonder if he and others know about, and that is in the country. You know, the hibiscus is a very exotic flower. But one of the things we used to do is to take the hibiscus before it opened, and it was, the other name for it was shoebac. And you used it to polish your shoes, and it didn't matter whether they were black or brown or whatever. But if you had no shoe polish, then the hibiscus was a very good substitute.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, any of you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
I remember it being called shoe black.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
don't remember using it to polish shoe. I remember the name.
Well,
I remember it being called that.
Yeah.
Did it only work on black shoes?
No, it worked on any shoe,
color.
Really, of course, except
it would give
white.
You a sheen after you rub it. You could shine it with a brush.
Yeah, yeah. You put it on, you rub it, and it became all mushy, and then you sort of wiped it, and then polished it up with a cloth or something, and you got a sheen.
Mm-hmm. And when you think of it now, the polish is made with some chemical in it, so you weren't getting all of those fumes up in your sinuses, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, those were the good old days when everything was healthy.
Yes.
Question for Carol. Carol, did you have goats at all?
No, we didn't have goats. We had cows, we had pigs, we have rabbits, pigeons, and chickens. And, you know, people now go to a lab to keep fit. Well, when you have chickens and you want one for the pot, what you do is chase the chicken until it is absolutely exhausted.
Tired.
And then what you do is put the wash pan over it and somebody will cut the head off. And then, you know, it will sort of flutter about, but the wash pan keeps it contained. And there was your exercise and there was your meal.
Very good.
May I say something here? Sorry, but just last night, my husband and I were talking about that. Just last night, we were having that discussion about the cutting the chicken and keeping it underneath the wash pan and all of that. Just last night,
yeah.
We spoke about that.
Isn't that something? Well, last week, somebody shared with us, I think it was BJ, but anyway, somebody shared with us that, oh, no, it was Janine, that whoever was taking care of the chicken would give it a little liquor.
Oh,
put a little liquor in the water.
Not
so that the chicken was sort of, you know, a little buzz.
Boozy. Okay.
Before, so that it wouldn't make so much noise under the container.
In other words, you got the chicken drunk.
Right, right. Well, I'm being politically correct. Just buzzed. Well, you know, with all the talk now about the cruelty to animals, I don't want them to shut me down.
With
getting the chicken drunk.
We live, and I'm not sure it is more cruel than the mass-produced things which don't see the light of day.
Well, there was a recent show about, you know, how bad it is, so
yeah.
I don't want to go
there. Oprah show was on that subject last night.
Right. I always tell our listeners that in the backyard, we're just here to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve. I am not usually politically correct, but we don't discuss politics or religion or who's right or who's wrong. We just talk about things that was, and
it is what it is.
You know what I mean?
Historical things. These are things, and they're not stories. This was life.
This was life.
This
and
was
it's
life.
Being told. They're actually stories, but they're told by the people who lived the life.
Exactly, exactly.
You know,
we
lived
didn't read
it.
About it in books. We
right,
kind of
right.
Our
and
experiences.
We're not. And some of the stories we get from people who lived it, you know, because people with stories from their grandparents,
yeah.
You know, those are people who lived it.
Right.
And we have been fortunate. We had a guest one night that was a relative of one of my fans. I don't know if that fan is on the board tonight, but she was in her 90s, and her memory was intact, and she gave some marvelous stories about, you know, when she was small in Jamaica, you know, when her family was closely attached to the Irish that came to Jamaica early, because she moved to a special part of the island because that's where they were, and her parents wanted to be close to where you know their forefathers were. And shortly after that she had a stroke, or she lost consciousness or something. And I'm saying how wonderful it was, not that that happened, but that she was able to share with us before that happened. Because now members of her family, you know, perhaps that may be born in another 10 years or so, can actually hear her voice telling her story. And I just think that is marvelous. So again, I want to thank you all for sharing, because, you know, not everybody feels that they have something to share. But I want to encourage all our listeners that we all have a story. We all have something special, because each one of us see things differently and have different emotions about certain things. You know, it's like the story about what one person sees the glass half full.
And
the other
sees it half empty.
Half empty. So it's just a different perspective to the same situation.
Right.
So it's always good to hear, you know, of somebody else's experience. And I see a hand up at 6314 51. So I'm going to open the mic. Welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret.
Hi,
welcome
Margaret.
To the Labrish.
Hi, this is Janine.
Hi, Janine.
I
and where are you calling from?
From Long Island.
Yeah, I know, but I just want you to tell the rest of the world.
Yes, I just want to add that a lot of her are soccer players. Also got their practice from the condensed can, which they used as a ball to kick.
Really? The can itself?
Yes, they used to kick it and play ball, like, you know, soccer.
Oh,
what
I
we
didn't
used
know
to call
that.
Yeah, what we used to call football back home.
Mhm.
And also the slingshot. The crook part was that they usually get it from the lincum vitae tree.
Oh.
And they would soak it so it would get flexible.
Oh, so it had a process. You
right.
See, everybody adds something else. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they had to shear it down with a knife to get it to shape the way they want, and then they would soak it. But
usually
for us, I don't know for everybody, but they used to get it from the lincum vitae tree,
right.
Which I guess was a better kind of tree to get it from. I don't know.
Right. Well, someone I spoke to earlier that couldn't make it on the call, speaking of the spools of thread, Carole, that the thread came on.
Yeah.
They used them to make wheels for the toys. The spool of thread. They made it, you know, the little trucks or whatever.
Yeah.
And also, she shared with me something that I never knew, that, you know, when you have soap, a small piece of soap, her family would collect the pieces of soap. You wouldn't throw them out. You would put them in one container. Then you would make them liquid again by warming them up and then pouring them into a mold.
Yeah.
To take the several little pieces of soap and make one big soap or a bigger soap. Isn't that something? I never knew that.
I did that.
Really?
Warmed it up, but I would wet them, kind of soak it in water to make it soft enough and use my hand and mold it together.
I have a confession. Yes. I still do that.
Oh, interesting.
So you'd have different fragrance because you'd have different pieces of soap from different
fragrance.
Yeah, I cannot throw away a piece of soap. I just can't do it.
Ah, interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So, I see another hand up. So let me open up the mic. It's 631-472. Your mic is open. Welcome to the backyard.
Hi, this is Paulette from Long Island. Janine's sister.
Paulette.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful.
As you just mentioned about the pieces of soap, I remembered my mom, and this is so funny, but it worked. She would roll the soap, and she would make suppository for the babies.
Yes,
I know
cool.
That.
Mm-hmm. Is that something?
Yes.
I remember that now.
Yes. I remember too.
Wow, talk about nostalgia. Really? And the point is this, you know, that one thing triggers another.
Yes,
that's correct.
Because then we're back. You know, you just remember.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that
yes.
wonderful? And I hope you'll encourage all your seniors, because this is such good exercise for our brain.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I mean, this is better than going to therapy.
That's true.
Wow. This is awesome. Something just went snap right up there.
Snapped. I just heard the pieces of soap, and I said, my mom made suppository from this for the babies, and it worked.
Wow.
Like
awesome.
A charm. Yes.
Well, thank you for that. We just have a couple of minutes. My, how the time goes by quickly.
Well, you're having fun.
But I really want to thank everybody. It has been a wonderful show. And I want to encourage you that if you have ideas of what you want to hear, please just shoot me an email and let me know. And if you're not yet on my list, just let me know that you'd like to be on the list so that I can let you know what we're going to be talking about. so that it might trigger something in your memory. And it, it's just so nice. This has just been marvelous. And I want to thank everybody. Does anybody have anything to throw in? We just have a couple of seconds before our time has expired.
I just want to say, Margaret, that game that you were talking about with the orange.
Sewell Lash.
Sewell Lash. Well, I used to play that, but the best way to do it is without shoe.
I know, barefooted, yes.
Yes, yes.
Well, sometimes they had it on their crepe, or in those days it was crepe, remember?
Yeah, but it's better when you take off the shoe and do it on just your foot.
Right.
You
keep
it longer.
But isn't it inside of an orange that they used to use?
Yes.
Yes, as the whatever that is.
And you have to... You have to hop on one foot and then
I wonder if the boys still doing that.
Yeah, and then moving up the other foot. The other foot has to be going up and down to keep
right.
it on. You have to be skillful to do that.
Definitely. Excuse
yeah.
the ring. Sorry about that. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I have to. We only have about 3 minutes. So I want to thank you all for being here this evening. I hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did.
It has been a pleasure.
I look forward, and Carole, thank you for really sharing with us. Sorry about all that noise. Somebody's desperately trying to get me.
Well, it was wonderful going down memory lane.
My list, so they don't know that this is important. We're having a labyrinth here. So,
yeah.
As I always end the show, Carole, thank you very much, and I thank each and every one of you that participated, and hope you'll come back next week. So we're going to all say together, we're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock. This is Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio, and Backyard Labrish is dedicated to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica,
land we love.
Good. So please make it a great week. See you all
Thank
next
you.
Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.